trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sinflood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, James and Daryl?
Feeling it.
Feeling it over here in Hawaii.
All right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a DIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at DIPCOT.org. So we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy. I'm joined tonight by James and by new fiend, Daryl Becker. Hey guys, how you doing? Nice timing. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right. Daryl. Yeah, man. Thanks.
Jeremy.
Thanks for joining us, man. It's been so great. I couldn't get you my own darn show, so we had to drag you all the way over here and then get you on this show to finally talk to you.
You're going to get me on your show.
Yes.
Now I have Fiend phones set up.
Yeah, now you have no excuses, literally.
Yeah.
So welcome to Fiendom, Daryl. Why don't you tell everybody about yourself? I'm going to put you on the spot right away, introduce you. Why are you here? Why did Michael bring you here? Why did he think you'd be a wonderful fiend? Why don't you talk to us, man?
I'm here because you and, let's see, Lucander Fiend, Nick Hazelton, at least, maybe a few other fiends, all talked so well of me. And, you know, against various Michael's judgment, he decided, okay, I guess if they all talk well, and so he interviewed me twice to see if I'd really, you know, make the cut and that kind of thing. I've been a professional pod guest, appearing on various podcasts, especially the School Sucks podcast, many times at this point for about 4 years. Never really fully launched my own production in a serious way. And that's what I do. And I've gotten better at my audio and my banter stuff. So I think I'm good enough for this seat, and I'm psyched to join you guys. Over here on the Big Island of Hawaii, and it is a little after 7 p.m. right now.
Yes, and I'm very jealous about that. That's, you know, sounds like a much better time to do a show than 1 o'clock in the morning, but, you know.
It's just better in general, but the gas prices are a little bit higher, and the electricity prices are a bit higher, unless, of course, you make your own.
Oh. How expensive is gas there right now?
I just filled. I put in $10, and it was like around $2.91 per gallon.
Wow.
No, I mean that's not that much higher.
Yeah,
I think I filled up the other day for like $2.40 something. So I mean that's not that much higher, really.
Yeah, that's actually manageable considering what I've had to pay over here. You know, that's manageable. We're still paying like $2.30, $2.40 here in New Yorkistan.
So that's not too much higher, I suppose. But I guess it probably scales up and gets exponentially higher when it gets to. But I don't know.
It's the usual thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure everything's got a cost issue there because, well, you know, it's not if it's not there already, getting it shipped there is gonna cost you a pretty penny, right? You know,
yeah, that's the story. Export.
Yeah. But it's pretty, right? So you can put up with that.
It's very pretty, so I can put up with that. And you know, the price of coconuts and bananas is actually fairly low, so think of it that way. You know.
Hmm.
I could live on coconuts and bananas. I think that would work.
Yeah. Mangoes, oranges, other such, too, you know. Plus fruit like you've never seen or heard of, you know.
Oh, see, that interests me. I mean, I had that's like when I joined my first food co-op a couple of years ago, and they kept sending me this giant cardboard box of food with all this different stuff I'd never heard of before. It was so wonderful. I was just like, oh yeah, I get to learn about all sorts of new foods, because I've for a long time said I'm a very, very, very fat man trapped in a relatively skinny guy's body, because I do like to eat and I do like to try different things. So. That would be fun. I'm sure seafood's plentiful down there, too, which would be wonderful for me, because I do love some seafood.
Yeah, and if you want to be paranoid about the whole Fukushima thing, you can get right into that. Or you can do what I do and just eat it, you know.
Oh yeah. It's, well, I mean, everything causes cancer these days anyway. So, I mean, the chances of you contracting it from something are pretty high, I suppose. You might as well go out happy, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Right. Well, I mean, we all have our professions, right? So my profession has been healthcare for 19 years. And the funny thing is, when you get into profession, you find out that the things that the people on the outside think are a big deal are actually not the big deal, you know? Like I don't know, like I started learning about caring for people's dogs through listening to you, Jeremy. And like, I never knew some of the things that would actually be a problem because I don't do that. But you know that. So the things with cancer is that, yeah, that can be pretty simple to deal with if you get to it right away. And it's neurological problems and badass heavy metal poisoning that could be the real big deal. You know, that's the big deal. If you can, you know, and in this day and age where there's so many cannabinoid products out there and so many different things that can really, what can I say, do a number on either preventing the tumors, which is way cheaper, or treating it, unless, of course, it's growing crazy way out of control. I guess it's all like anything, like a gunshot wound. If it's going out of control, then only, you know, powerful methods will serve. But for most people, basically, like all of us on the Fiend phone right now, we are all growing cancers and destroying cancers as we talk. That's what's happening. But they don't tell you that. And so if you went to get scanned, they could find a cancer and they'd be like, make a big deal, and then give you a bunch of the poison called chemotherapy, which will either get rid of that tumor or actually start growing more ones, more of them, you know, which is 95% of the time what it's going to do. Oh, but I'm sorry for Grandpa who's listening and still trusts his doctor. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm going to throw one of these out there.
Allegedly.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Now we're covered. Excellent.
Now we're covered. But I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could be wrong. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not, you know.
I could be wrong.
Although, I do like that thought, though. About
I could,
you know,
be wrong about an Ethereum.
This is true. But, you know, you mentioned about the cannabinoids and stuff like that. You know, I like to think that's how I've been treating cancer for myself for years and keeping the cancer away. You know, like, what is it? The apple a day keeps the doctor away. I've long subscribed to the theory that a joint a day keeps the cancer away. So
I've subscribed to 20 cigarettes a day keeps the cancer away. You give yourself small amounts of cancer and then you build up an immunity.
Oh, kind of like Wesley did with the iocane powder in The Princess Bride. Excellent, excellent. I like that theory.
Get your body used to the cancer.
Actually, wait a minute. Stop. Don't do that, James. You're going to get me smoking again. I haven't had an analog cigarette, as I refer to them, since just before Thanksgiving. I don't want to go back, but now you're going to tempt me with that because now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, actually, it's not a bad theory. I mean, my great grandfather did smoke a pack plus a day for, you know, almost his entire life, and most of those times they were hand rolled, unfiltered cigarettes, and he lived to like 92. Old and was quite healthy all the way up until the end. So, you know, maybe it's in the genes. Sure, why not?
So it's all those people that quit smoking that end up getting the cancer.
Well, you know what they say, James. Quitters never win.
May cause triggering.
You're way too good with that app. I still have not practiced enough with that thing. That is, for anybody who does not know, the wonderful Pocket Alibi app that Michael has put out for us. And
the Google Play Store.
Yes, James is a whiz with it. I unfortunately am not. I'm not very technologically savvy to begin with. I'm horrible with my cell phone, even though I've had it for over a year. You'd think I know how to work it pretty well. I still fumble with buttons. So trying to just find the right saying at the right time, I didn't even bother. I'm like, yeah, I'm just gonna screw it up every time. So
that's very modest for a guy who edits the show, you know.
Well, you know, because again, well, that's after the fact. You know, we're talking, you know, doing it after the fact when I'm by myself and, you know, there's no pressure versus doing it live on the air. You know, you think I'd be used to it now after all these shows, but, you know. Hey,
I play with it.
I know, but there you go. And Travis, when you listen tomorrow, there's an out of context fiends for you.
You just got to play with it. Great advice. Could be taken so many ways. But anywho. So, Daryl, you... See? What did I say? Perfect.
Yeah, you got it. The app is fun. It's a great app. Everyone who's listening should go download it and have some fun with it. It's great for parties.
Say the name.
Pocket Alibi.
Yes.
And if you ever want to BIPCOT anything, I mean, it's got a great BIPCOT license right in it. Boom. You can just bring it up, BIPCOT anything, right off the bat.
Yeah, this is great app. It is a great app. It's a lot of fun. I mean, like I said, I'm not as quick on the draw with as you are with those. But just even sitting, you know, just hitting the buttons. I've done it around my kids, and they think it's hysterical because they hear all these different voices saying all these weird things that don't. Most of it doesn't make sense to them, obviously, because they're still kind of young. But every once in a while, they hear Daddy's voice, and that makes them laugh even harder. You know, and I think I actually mentioned on the air right after Michael first put it out, I was trying to get my kids to use it, like when they were in the doctor's office with their mom and stuff, and just freak people out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, their mom isn't completely on board with that idea, but, you know, I'm working on it. Hopefully I can convince her. Come on, it'll be fun. It'll be cute, you know.
Let them play with it for the doctors.
Yeah. Especially the the dating one, is that the one section which is mostly Steve Miller, but all the different pickup lines, that's what it is. Those are
Hey, James, use that.
Why don't you come into my Bitcoin mine and get comfortable?
See, exactly.
What are you doing tonight? Want to go cop blocking?
He's got some great pickup lines. So you can actually pick up women with the app. Just
yeah, exactly. It's perfect for all the guys out there that are very shy when it comes to women and don't know what to say. You know, here you go. Just James has proven before you can almost get through an entire segment of a show without saying anything and still having a conversation, or at least carrying his end of the conversation. So if you could do that on live radio, you could do it anywhere, anytime. But with that music here, we'll take a trip to the market, and we'll be back after this. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world, and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
On the rise again. That's exciting.
Oh yeah.
You know, the cryptocurrency killed more often than Kenny on South Park is.
Oh, every time it dips a couple percent. Oh, Bitcoin's dead.
Oh yeah, that's why one of the that taking the South Park scene and putting the Bitcoin over Kenny's face, that meme never gets old because, you know, you get to use it every couple of months by the crazy mm-hmm. people that are still screaming. I still see, who's it? Who was I listening to? I think I was listening to an episode of Sovereign Tech today where Brian Sovereign was reading an article about people talking about Bitcoin still has a possibility of ripping everybody off because of the alleged decentralization of the blockchain can become re-centralized and, you know, I guess alluding to the fact that it could still be a scam in some ways, because I still see people still claiming that, you know, what is it? How many years later? When did Bitcoin, was it 2010, 2011? When it officially?
2009.
Okay. So we got 8 years now. People still talking about the Ponzi scheme. And I'm like, well, my first reaction to that is always, well, that's the really long game. But then I have to automatically catch myself and go, well, Social Security has actually been going on longer, and that's probably the longest running Ponzi scheme of all time. So yeah. I guess that's not the greatest metric.
Well, maybe I was going to ask for you guys to help me with a small therapeutic problem. You see, I seem to get to feel really prejudiced against old people because I see the fear and the confusion in their face whenever I talk about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies. And I'd like it to not be that way. But here's the deal. I mean, I make most of my money as an acupuncturist and holistic healthcare provider for older people. And I make my other money for the younger people through cryptocurrencies, helping them set up accounts, getting on exchanges, etc., and securing their funds. And when I try to talk to the older people about such, I generally see such great, I would say, fear masked as caution and confusion that I'm just, you know, like, I want to not, like, be an ageist and really, like, be prejudiced against them. But I really find that, like, bubbling out of me, you know? So can you help me with that?
Sounds like you need to explain Bitcoin better.
You're right. So it's all about me and my words, right? Yes. Thank you, James. Right? That's why I'm on the show. This is a teaching hospital. You're going to help me with my words.
It's all your fault. All right. I understand what you're saying, though, because for the past couple of years, that's what I tried to do with my business. I tried to shift in that direction and tried to get more people paying me in that way and trying to introduce more people into the Bitcoin community. And it was the younger people that obviously had more questions, and the older people usually either just waved me off or looked confused or, you know, fearful, like you were saying. I don't know. The only luck I've ever had is with people like that is the ones who are at least willing to talk a little bit about it. I kind of work it in with, well, you know, you kind of remember how when those debit cards first came out and those were very confusing to you and you didn't understand how your money was, you know, all of a sudden you didn't have to have it on you. You could have just had this little, piece of plastic. Like, what was that all about? You know, and the whole credit card, like, and try to walk them backwards a little bit, because mm-hmm. if they're old enough, they live through a lot of this, like, you know, the rollout of credit cards and debit cards and people no longer carrying cash, you know, for the large part and stuff like that. And then it makes it a little, at least in my experience, I've had a little more, it's been a little easier to explain it to them. Like, I know with a couple of family members, well, at least the ones before they wrote me off after my latest escapades. But before that, I made a little headway with them, with making them see it a little better and going, oh, okay. Although it's usually left with, so it's kind of like having another bank account. It's like, okay, yeah, let's leave it at that for now. And we'll come back to this and revisit it again in a couple of months. Kind of, you mentioned about my experience with dogs earlier. Yeah, kind of like with dog training like that. You've had enough for today. We're going to give you a little time to relax and regroup and reset, and we'll come back to this at a later time when your mind's a little fresher, you know, because not to be ageist, but when people get a little bit older, you know, they need a little more recovery time.
I think you cured me. Thank you.
Well, I think a big issue is trying to explain different, you know, aspects of it that you may find interesting. And that's what really, when I first heard about it was 2009, and the guy who was trying to pitch it to me couldn't explain it very well, and I didn't understand it, and I wrote it off like it was a bunch of nonsense until I really looked into it after I heard about it a few years later. And, you know, I'd be really rich right now if that guy could have explained it to me properly back in 2009.
Meow.
It was totally different for me, James. We out of time?
Sounds like now.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, Coin.org.
Wow. Want to shout out to all those 31 plus radio stations out there. Everyone else there listening to us, that's amazing.
Yes. Well, I think it's only 29 plus at the moment, because we get two more after the top of the second hour when we get to welcome Belfouche, South Dakota, right? It's Belfouche.
Yeah, they do the second hour.
Yes, and Sundance, Wyoming. But yes, it is really amazing. We were discussing that before we got on the show earlier, and as Michael has said to us, you know, people like Rush Limbaugh are on like 700 stations, you know, so us being on 30 something is nothing spectacular, but hey, it's still radio, right? And there's people listening, so that's actually really cool. And that's why I keep showing up here, because despite everything else that goes on in my life and despite anything else that I have to deal with, I'm just like, you know what? I don't care. I get to be on the radio. And for me, that's still pretty cool, because I'm old enough to remember when radio was still cool. So
radio is still pretty cool.
It is when you're in college. That's what I did. College radio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just local radio, that kind of thing. Hitting the, you know, 100 plus people who happen to be listening at that moment kind of thing. You know. I was in Plainfield, Vermont. That's where I was doing that college time and college radio. And after college, it became community radio. It was pretty big there. This is pre-internet.
Oh, yeah.
This is before I was a dad. When I was a young dad.
Oh, way back when, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got into that stuff. Radio came very late in life to me. with the experience here to do the Fiends, because I never even considered going that route, even though I do like to talk. And the one thing I've usually been, as long as I'm not yelling, the one thing I've been usually complimented on most of my life is my voice. So it made sense that I would use it at some point. It just took me a long time to get around to it.
Got that serious voice there, Jeremy. That's awesome.
Yeah. I had to season it just right with, you know, enough years of smoking and getting it just gravelly enough that it's not understandable. That's not a word. All right, somebody take the mic away from me. I think. This is what happens when you let me talk for too long. You guys got to jump in here.
I'm going to send you some words here. It's unintelligible, okay?
So thank you. There you go.
Practice that one. All right.
Unintelligible. I think I can handle that.
If you want, you can buy a vowel.
Well, I had one too many vowels in the word I was trying to create. So, any hoodle. So I had a bunch of stories I sent you guys earlier. I guess maybe we should start getting to some of those. But did you guys get a chance to read any of them? Because I thought, well, first of all, actually, one of them I want to start off with. Never mind. I'm not even going to ask you guys because I should have mentioned this yesterday. I think I missed it by a day. But I saw everybody posting about it today. But it was recently, either yesterday or the day before, or today maybe, was the 13th anniversary of the good old Killdozer. You guys remember that story? Marvin Haymeyer.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. And it was, you know, I made a meme about that to commemorate that today because I saw everybody posting about it. I had kind of forgotten about it. But for people who don't know this story, there was a man. Where was he again? I forget where this was. Some town in the USA that had been. It doesn't even say it in this article.
Any town
USA. But he had a muffler shop, and some real estate people who wanted to expand their little empire wanted to buy him out, and he kept toying with them with the price and kept he didn't really want to sell. And then when he was like, fine, I'll sell, but he wanted to get paid for his land, and he kept upping the price at the last minute. So, and instead of just saying, okay, fine, this guy's not going to sell to us, we're going to have to figure out something else to do, and walking away, these people went to the local town and the government in the town and got them to rezone in order to punish this guy. And they eventually just ended up driving to the point where he ended up having to sell his business, because they just did everything in their power between these private, you know, quote unquote private citizens who worked in collusion with the government, which seems very fascist to me. But they, you know, they went ahead and did just everything in their power to ruin this guy's life, and just to push him out. And he eventually kind of snapped, I think rightfully so, and bought a bulldozer.
He didn't want to sell.
Yeah, he didn't. But he eventually did. He eventually sold the property. But then he spent a year and a half. He bought a bulldozer. And then he spent a year and a half creating this armor for it out of concrete and like reinforced steel, I think. Mm-hmm. And just he built this thing up so it actually ended up being pretty much impervious to small arms fire, and I think even explosives, because I think they tried to bomb him to try to get him out of it once he went on his little rampage. Mm-hmm. And even that didn't work. It was only because eventually I think the radiator sprung a leak, and the thing started to overheat. But he basically just built this armored tank out of a bulldozer and went into the town with a specific list of targets of the businesses, like the one power plant that had been involved in pushing him out. He went there first, and he just went out like systematically taking out these buildings and punishing these people. And I think it was like $7 million in damage that he created. Now, I mean, this is one of those situations where I am obviously not for the destruction of private property.
Yep.
However, under these circumstances, I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Falling Down, you know, there's only so far you can push a man before I have to start going, well, you know, I can really see this guy's point of view. And I don't really blame him for trying to blow everything up in sight. That kind of thing. So what are your guys' thoughts on this whole situation?
It's a classic example of this is what happens in this day and age of communication. Look at what happened. I mean, there's were these people, and they knew how to play the game, because that's what zoning is. It's a game. There's this small group of people who essentially got on, and they're the zoning board, and it's kind of like college advisors when you go to college, when you want to like get into a class or get the proper assigned whatever kind of thing. It's all those people. They've got incredible amounts of power. It's like the homeowners association, the people on that board. They have incredible, absurd amounts of power. And there's really no way around it. The Chinese learned this long ago. Bribe them. You know? The carrot works so much better than the stick. You know? You know, really. But that's the thing. You see, like, too many Americans, this is going to be my little hasty generalization fallacy right there. Too many Americans are averse to simple bribery and good, kind words, which cost nothing, and connections, and like come over with a homemade lasagna, that kind of thing. Too many Americans are reticent as far as like they're reluctant to go ahead and just bribe people, be nice to them either honestly or covertly. Either way, you'll get so much more. It'll be so much less expensive than, what is that guy in prison because he caused like $7 million damage?
Well, no, he's dead.
He's dead. That's even more expensive.
Well, yeah, he ended up killing himself in after the. Well, I mean, allegedly. Where's the button, James? At the end of the rampage, which it went on for like I think it was like almost two and a half hours, maybe. Slowly driving through the town. Like there's video, but I'll link some stuff in the show notes. But there's, you know, for anybody who doesn't remember the story, who hasn't heard of it before, the town was Granby. I still don't remember what state it was in. He slowly drove through the town, and at the end of it, after the radiator sprung a leak, and before you know, the thing finally stopped moving because it just, you know, it sustained enough damage that it couldn't move anymore. As the story goes, as the deputies were in surrounding the vehicle and walking up towards it with their guns drawn, they heard a gunshot from inside. And when they found, you know, when they got it, when they pulled him out, he was dead. So, he did what he set out to do, and he went out on his own terms, I guess, is the way to look at that.
Well, it looks like I was just reading the article a little bit, and he bought the bulldozer because it was part of like a compromise he was trying to do, because he was trying to save his business after this, because and wanted to build like his own private road, and you know, for people to still gain access to his business, so he could still, you know, operate his business with them trying to put this easement through his property, basically, I guess is what it.
Oh yeah. You know, he took every legal possible action, tried everything he could, and yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Because what happened was, on top of the zoning thing, they ended up cutting off the road to his business, so nobody could get there anymore. Right. And the most often heard status refrain, who will build the roads. He tried to build the roads, and they stopped him from doing so. Mm-hmm. They said, no, you can't build your own road.
Right.
So now we have this bulldozer. Yeah. What do you do with? What am I going to do with this thing now?
Right. So he tried every legal route that he could.
Yep.
But he didn't try bribery. He didn't try actually understanding what would happen if he had chosen, like, all right, I see you guys have
power.
He
would have to outmatch the bribery of the power company. I had to get that ready.
I mean a different bribery.
Yes.
I mean, like, okay, these real estate people colluding with these zoning people, they've got more power. They're tougher than me. I'll just take the deal and walk away and go somewhere. I'm going to run away. But I'm gonna get some money out of this, but I'm gonna run away. He was starting to get some money, but then he got asking a bit too much, to the point where it didn't work, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the world.
Well, he probably realized right away when they were all like eager to buy the land for $250,000 that was a little bit of a low ball offer, you know?
Yeah, and he rightly, it was his property. He rightly decided, property, hey, listen, you really wanted that bad, then I'm going to up the price a little bit. And I mean, from a business aspect, I can understand the people on the other end being agitated with that. But like I said, you know, they could have just walked away too. But no, they decided to use the force of government against this guy to get what they wanted, which makes them completely wrong in this situation, and why I fully believe that largely Mr. Marvin Haymeyer was justified in his actions.
And a hero.
Yes. All hail the bulldozer. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best ofs. Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Well.
And we're back. I have this story from Vice, which is almost reminiscent to me of like the people who go into when they're mad at the government and they go and they pay their fines in pennies or whatever. This guy took a different route to that. The headline is "An angry man terrorized his city manager with a cup full of bed bugs." So this guy apparently had an issue with bed bugs, and he was not happy with the people. It's City Hall in Augusta, Maine, because they apparently were not responding to his problem quick enough, and he was carrying a jar that had, I guess, I think they said 100
of them.
Yeah, like 100 or so bed bugs in it, and he was carrying it with him, and when they didn't listen to, when they kept ignoring his pleas for help to deal with his issue, he slammed it down on the counter, and then it ended up, all the bugs ended up going everywhere. They had to evacuate the building. calling the bed bug squad, the dogs.
Single-handedly shut down the city hall for a day.
Yeah. It's a great answer to the question, how do you shut down City Hall? Apparently,
bring a couple bed bugs.
Apparently, they don't know about diatomaceous earth. So, pet owners do.
Yeah. They don't. Yeah, but apparently, you don't need a gun, you don't need a knife, you don't need a bomb. You just need some bed bugs. I mean, like, it's the funny. I mean, it's funny.
At home.
Yeah, there you go. That's excellent advice from the Fiends legal counsel of all people too. That actually works out beautifully. Now the fact that they Vice used terrorize in the title, I wonder if this would be Maine is kind of a progressive-ish state, right? I think for the most part. I wonder if they would want to try to charge this guy with terrorism. I wonder if government would take it that far.
Well, it says that in the article that police have tracked him down and will likely pursue charges. It doesn't say what the charges are going to be.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder how far they'll take it. I mean, I know all too well about how they like to tack on additional charges when government gets a hold of you. But I wonder what this guy's charges will actually be. Like, this, I mean, can this be, since they had to evacuate the building, since more city resources had to be used in order to bring in the crew to sweep for bed bugs, and they get one of those, well, they have a bed bug sniffing dog. I mean, I don't know, around here they have those commercials for the little beagle. There's a couple of companies that have the little beagles that run around and doing this stuff. Like, that's their job. They sniff out bed bugs, and they're really good at it, apparently. So I don't know if they have one of those guys. I guess they have one of those guys up there too, but I can't imagine what they pay for that.
Well, they'll probably be charged with menacing.
Oh, yes. Well, that is a very popular charge these days, I've seen. Actually.
But seriously, though.
Terrible idea with glorious execution.
Nice. I don't think that one has ever been used more appropriately. Oh, So, like I said, I don't know. This guy, he's kind of a hero to me. I mean, granted, I don't know what he expected City Hall to do with his problem, because it's a Vice article. It's not very informative. It doesn't really actually say what his problem was. It just says he had a bed bug problem and he wanted to have their problem. He wanted to talk to them about his problem, and they didn't want to talk to him, apparently, or were taking too long to talk to him, you know. And
so he sicked the bed bugs on him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's just a horrible thing to do to somebody, but it's government, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I have a hard time feeling bad about it. I'm conflicted.
I am, too. So I really want to know what he wanted government to do about bed bugs, though.
Yeah, I probably should have looked for more stories into this. This one just caught my eye, and I think we had this.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is funny, and you know, although it's interesting, they said they tracked him down, but they're not releasing him his name yet. That's weird, because normally if they have, like, you know, cut and dry cases like this, or even if they don't have a problem letting, there's only certain people that don't have their names released, you know, children and celebrities,
but they released his picture.
Yeah, which is weird, you know. I don't know. Well, there could just be Vice's crack reporting too, so anyhow, I hear the music again, so we'll be heading into the break and we'll be back.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Who's got an intro? You got an intro, James? I got an intro.
I got an intro. Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. So we're back for the second hour. I am Jeremy. I'm still here with James and the newest fiend, Daryl Becker. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Daryl is still joining us from the jungle, as you can hear in the background, which I mistakenly thought were birds earlier. Apparently, I was wrong. I was told they are frogs.
Yeah, there's frogs in my background here.
That we hear in the background. So, Michael, when you listen to this, I let this slide for the same reason you let the cricket slide originally with me. I think it adds a nice ambiance. We'll let the fans decide.
The Russians did it.
When in doubt, blame the Russians. I didn't even know that one was on there. I obviously have not delved into the depths of the Pocket Alibi since the last update, which I know was a while ago, but I don't think I really got into. I think I played with it a lot before he updated it one or two times, and then I didn't. So.
Yeah, that one's been on there for a while.
Oh. Well, no, he hasn't done an update in a while, as far as I know. But, like, there were two updates, and I don't think I really paid attention to the updates at all. So, I don't know any of these things. But, anyway, so, yeah, like I said, if people hear that sound, I like it. I think it's very soothing. It's kind of like one of those.
I don't even hear it. That's,
well, of course.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to tune it out by now.
Well, yeah, that's like. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Until I talk with someone on the phone or somewhere like that, you know. And then I hear it because they tell me about it.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like the crickets, the crickets and the cicadas with me. You would tune them out for the longest time because I'm just so used to them. I've lived here for, you know, over 20 years at this point. So you kind of get used to these sounds that just...
Thanks, Trump.
Exactly.
Are we talking mostly to Trump supporters or Trump agnostics? Who's our audience?
To the radio.
We're talking to who's ever listening. Well, you know,
it's a large net.
Obviously, most Fiend fans tend to be libertarian or anarchists. But the people who listen just randomly, you know, I mean, there could be some maniacal nurse somewhere who has a radio that they play for patients who are locked down in a mental ward and forces them to listen to the Fiends all the time. I mean, I like to think that there's people out there like that. That'd be fun. you know, people who are in restraints and can't go anywhere instead of, you know, just play the Fiends, just constantly make them listen to us. That'd be great. You know, there's just anybody. I mean, who listens to talk radio? The majority of talk radio stations, there's NPR. What is, I don't even know what that is in the back. What's the majority of talk radio? I mean, other than NPR, which is very, what government and which necessarily means like left-centric, is mostly conservative talk, right? That's the bulk of it, at least that I know of. So I would guess that the majority of people who would listen would be old-time Republicans and conservatives and stuff like that.
Ooh, I want to make a bridge to them. Yeah, I want to do that.
That's
okay. I'll try to speak their language, which doesn't include mentioning that I am prejudiced against anyone who's old. But, you know, again,
being ageist, Daryl. Stop being ageist.
Yeah, step one is to...
on radio.
Exactly. Thank you. The first step is to acknowledge that I am powerless over my problem, right? Is that what I'm supposed to do? And then the second step is... I don't know. I beseech Michael W. Dean for all help that I need. Something like that.
Yes.
Send me more equipment.
I'm pretty sure he'll give you the help whether you request it or not.
I'm so looking forward to feeling the help just arrive, you know.
Oh, well, you know.
I can feel it.
Exactly. So we did have some other stories that I came across one of them we were discussing, possibly talking about in the last segment, but I know that once this topic comes up, I tend to go for a while, so save it for now. This story came out a couple of days ago. I think actually it was a few days ago at this point, because it was May 30th was the headline. But there's a town in Gardendale. Let's see. Again, the horrible articles that don't mention the actual state. You have to like really track it
down. Alabama.
Thank you. But business license required for teens to cut grass. So this town in Alabama is enforcing their business licensure and business permit laws and regulations, and charging a $110 business license, you know, enforcing a $110 business license on neighborhood kids who want to mow lawns during the summer to make extra money, you know, make 15, 20 bucks or whatever for, you know, for a couple hours of mowing people's lawns to, you know, and, you know, some of these kids may only, you know, may do it to just get a couple $100 for the summer to get through and, you know, buy whatever they want to buy for themselves and hang out with their friends and do whatever, or the smart ones who are trying to save some money or hopefully transfer that to some more safer things like Bitcoin and gold and silver. But this government thinks it's you know, these government officials think that it's necessary that this rule in particular be enforced equally upon everybody, including these kids, and want to charge them $110 for the privilege of, you know, of working a voluntary transaction out with another human being and saying, hey, can I cut your lawn for this amount of money? Like, this bothers me to no end. Obviously, I have talked at length about my own issues with business licensure, including during the Stadius Confessions recently that Michael's had us doing about the things that we've said when, the most horrible things we did when we were a statist, or the most statist thing we ever did type things. And mine, of course, was the fact that when I found out that there wasn't a business license available for my type of business when I started my pet sitting company almost 12 years ago, I actually really considered petitioning my local government to instate a business license. Yes, they are, and yes, I was. I was very close. I had the letter drafted. I did actually speak to my local congressman when I went to go talk to him one day. kind of ran it by him, but never took it further. I was. You know, I have horrible, horrible feelings about this whole thing because yes, I'm mainly mad at myself and feeling the need to repent for my sins. But this just annoys, like, this is horrible. Like, why? Why? I mean, I know why, but, like, seriously, like, this is, like, if this type of story, I think I shared this on Facebook the other day with my own commentary that said, if you don't realize that this is about, like, that this licensure stuff is about nothing other than revenue generation and control, like, then I have a bridge here in Brooklyn that I think you'd love. Let me sell it to you cheap, because I'm like, how do you not see this? How?
Yeah, this is pretty bad. It's a $110 license that you need to cut grass in this city. Like,
yeah,
it's just crazy. It's you're cutting grass. This is something that a lot of teenagers do to get extra pocket change. Like, yes. How are they going to get extra pocket change? They got to, these teenagers, a lot of teenagers, they start cutting grass with, their parents' lawnmower. They didn't even buy their own lawnmower, and they're cutting grass with their parents' lawnmower. They don't got $110 to spend on being able to go cut their neighbor's grass.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, this is people cutting their neighbor's grass.
So that's an obstacle. So what can they do about it? And that'd be like, okay, so they're going to choose to mow the lawn of people who are not going to look for a business license. You know, I mean, here we got, like, things that have business licenses. I've got one for being an acupuncturist. But I would fully support someone to go out there and practice exactly what I do. If they have pleased clients, I would love that. But I know too many acupuncturists, unfortunately, who would like to, say frown on or look down on or even report them for such activities. I am not one of them. I would really fully support that, I mean, for my own self, I'm going to cover myself by... I was going to say something else. I was going to cover myself, and I will continue to pay for the license. Mm-hmm. But that's because, I'm kind of, at this point, getting more and more in the local eye as far as practitioners goes. And medicine is such a touchy little subject. But lawn mowing is less touchy. So those folks in Alabama, they could actually choose to go the other way to say, okay, I need to talk to you to say, hey, there's this license thing going on and they want to charge me $110 to cut your, plus what, like on top of what I'm already paying. Just to get over here with to have my dad drop me off with the mower,
Right.
So that's kind of silly. So I would be like, okay, so this is an opportunity. How can these people get around that? This was like, from my studies, this is the Chinese way. They get around the regulations. They like, who can I bribe? Who can I get around? Who can I sweeten the deal with? This is how the farmers basically, made millions of dollars over there in post-Mao China. As far as I can tell from my research, post-Mao China, the farmers saw this sudden lack of regulation after Mao died, and they just took their money, they bribed the local cadres of communists, and started investing in land and making businesses and being merchants and things. And that's what the huge swell was. It was not the government there. It was the actual farmers turning into businessmen, turning into millionaires.
Right. The problem is that this little teenager isn't going to have the $110 to pay the fine, let alone the money to bribe the right people in order to avoid the $110. And she's just trying to cut her neighbor's grass. Or he, I don't know. It doesn't really say, does it? Nope, it is a she. You know, she's trying to cut her neighbor's grass. That's all it is.
Only girls do that.
Yeah.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
What? Oh, a settlement argument. Get me Lysander Spooner on the Ouija board stat.
Still probably my favorite one. That's actually still my ringtone. Or no, is it? Yeah, that's my ringtone right now. It has been for months. Good old Miller Miller. So we were talking about this business licensure story in the last segment, and I'm still mad about it, so I want to talk about it some more.
Yeah.
Because at the end of this article, where is it? And now I just lost it. The mayor of the town wants to do something about it, because you know he says that it's when if you're operating a business within the city, you have to pay you have to have a license. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a priority to send somebody after a kid trying to make money, but he's committed to finding a way to make it less of an issue. Now, instead of recognizing the problem like he seems to sort of be doing and saying, well, we should just, if anything else, you know, exempt. I mean, if you're not going to get rid of it, fine. Okay, maybe exempt the kids from it, you know, maybe to show you actually do care or that you recognize that at least in some capacity this is unfair. No, his ideas are more along the lines of, well, maybe we'll just give him a temporary one just for the summer, but that'll still mean he'll charge them, you know, probably less money, but he'll still charge them.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, and come on, a temporary license during the summer months that targets teenagers is what he's trying to put a new light business license here. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's for the
children. He wants to take these kids to, and he says he doesn't want to discourage kids from earning money, but how are they supposed to earn money? I mean, they got to pay a bunch of money to the state.
Well, yeah, because I don't think it mentions it in this article, but if they now have a licensed business, doesn't that automatically put them in the crosshairs of the IRS as well?
Taxation is theft.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
It definitely would. It takes a summer month under the table. Yeah, here's $20 from my neighbor, kind of thing, into a whole business where now they're going to have to keep paperwork and records and file taxes and stuff like that. You really think some teenagers are going to do that? No, you know, this is no.
Yeah,
but you discourage all of them from doing this.
Don't you think it teaches them a good lesson? That it's time to just pay your share, that, you know, there's the social contract that these children signed, essentially.
Am I being detained?
A question that actually a lot of cops don't like when you ask them. I learned that the hard way as well.
Of course they hate that. They don't like that one at all.
They also don't like when you call them ossifer when you're not drunk, because they assume that you are, and then they get really mad as well. things I've learned of dealing with law enforcement over the years.
But this poor kid, not going to have any any sort of business anymore. The business is basically done.
Yeah, it's just, or it, you know, it's not even just this one kid, because it's going to affect, it affects any kid in that area or any town that has these laws, regulations in place that are going to, the fact that it's even talked to, being talked about in a, you know, and you know, it's a local ABC affiliate, most likely means that somebody was reported at some point, because otherwise, like, you know, the guy, you know, the mayor says it won't be a priority to go after kids, but like, why else would they be talking about it unless they're, you know, unless it's been raised that the, you know, that somebody wants to enforce it for some reason, you know? So it's like, obviously this is somebody on some level of government wants to follow the letter of the law.
But here's the big thing about this is that this only really became an issue because someone that runs this grass cutting business himself, that cuts several yards in the neighborhood, saw this kid out cutting grass and said to and told them that he would report them for not having a business license and get them shut down if they didn't stop cutting the grass and didn't give the customers to him.
Which is, and the moral of that story is,
be a lobbyist.
Stop snitching. Stop snitching.
No.
Stop snitching.
Exactly. Oh, Michael, that needs to be on lobbyist. There. That needs to be on the app.
Yeah, that definitely.
Stop snitching.
Yeah.
Stop stitching.
Because that's really where this issue became up. Someone decided he was going to snitch on a kid because he was scared of the competition for his business.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
We're back, and we had another story. Switch back to the cryptocurrency world, which this one comes from, what is this? I always pronounce the name of this website wrong. For the longest time, whenever I saw this, I always thought this was the COINTELGRAPH, like COINTEL, the COINTELPRO.
COINTELEGRAPH.
The COINTELEGRAPH.com really? Website. Yes. Because before I got into cryptocurrency, I never clicked on it. So I didn't know that it was a cryptocurrency website. I just always saw it and figured it was some, like, it was either a satire site that I had no interest in, or that it was some conspiracy site that I also had no interest in. And I just always thought it was, like, you know, short for COINTELPRO. Anyway, so this one comes from COINTELEGRAPH.com. And the headline is, suddenly Vladimir Putin meets, okay, I can't pronounce this guy's.
Vitalik Buterin.
Thank you, Daryl. Who is, I guess, the creator behind Ethereum. And endorses Ethereum. Is that correct? I guess this Buterin is the...
That's the way the story goes.
Allegedly. Allegedly is the creator. So, yeah, Phil actually sent this to us last night. We never got to it. But since we were talking about Bitcoin earlier, I did think this was kind of interesting. Michael saw this and made a comment that he wanted me to pass along, that if we did get to this, that basically he just thinks Putin obviously is jumping on the bandwagon like any smart businessman would do. And I can't really argue with him there. I mean, why wouldn't he? Although I'm sure... the people here, at least the people here in the U.S., the politicians I've come across still try to demonize it if they talk about it at all, for the most part. But I'm sure behind the scenes, plenty of them are trying to get involved.
yeah, probably.
Especially with the recent spike and the you know, the subsequent death, 5 millionth death, and you know, quick recovery again, because now it's back up to almost $2,900 again. But anyway, so yeah, so recently the International Economic Forum just wrapped up in St. Petersburg, and there was a meeting that you know, stunned some of the press there, I guess. Which between Putin and the founder of Ethereum, Mr. How do you pronounce his name again?
Vladimir Buterin.
Okay. Buterin. All right. And apparently, you know, according to the article, Putin becomes a fan of the blockchain. And, you know, and as Michael's commentary alludes to, you know, I'm sure, I don't know how much Putin actually understands this. I mean, the guy does seem like he's rather intelligent, you know, and ruthless, and a whole bunch of other adjectives. but I can't imagine that, you know, maybe this maybe, you know, he can understand the technology, because I mean, even an idiot like me can understand it once it's explained to it properly. I mean, we were talking about that earlier, James. You had said that, you know, some people just can't explain it very well, and
no.
It can literally cost millions, not being able to explain.
It cost me millions having someone not explain Bitcoin to me decently. But yeah, it's my own fault for not looking into it on my own. I can't really blame that guy. But I do.
As would I. But so yeah, so Daryl, I'm sorry, you were saying?
I was just going to say, like, there's like four main principles of the cryptocurrencies that I know of, and I learned them all from Jeffrey Tucker. You know, the whole, like, this is like what the big deal is. But, you know, what you guys all, what we each know, is it's a good thing to have and get more of. That's practical, you know?
Yeah.
But the architecture, how it was designed, and the implications of this architecture. So even if this guy, Vitalik Buterin, actually invented this, if that's the real guy, and even if that's the real Putin, and that's not just a puppet show that's put on to fool everyone, which is the way I actually think. But, you know, even if it was real, in this end, as far as I know, these cryptocurrencies are kind of out of these people's control. They're just sort of like things running wild, or they have secret control, which is always a possibility. I don't really know. It just seems like you got all these geeks looking at these open source codes, trying to hack their way in, and so far it's built kind of like airtight and impervious, and that's the value, you know? So that's what I'm saying. This stuff is like serious, and like this is like way over a lot of people's head, or it creates that fear, like I was mentioning, in the older people, and like, God, thank you, Jeremy. I'm going to have to just calmly work my way to help them understand that, but you understand what I mean? This seems to be out of these people's control. What do you think, James?
Well, no, it's not out of people's control.
Okay, you think like there's a real Putin out there who's really in control, like a mastermind, or is he just like a puppet?
Well, oh, no. I misunderstand what you're saying, I guess. No, Putin's not in control of Ethereum.
Or anything.
or do you think Vitalik Buterin is in control of Ethereum, you know?
Well, when it comes to a lot of these cryptocurrencies, some are more controlled than others. I'm not too sure about Ethereum. I haven't done much research into Ethereum to tell you whether it's controlled or anything like that. But I know that there's some cryptocurrencies out there that are more into the centralized control, aren't as decentralized like Bitcoin is. But you know, it's all something that you need to research on your own to figure out which ones are the ones that are the best ones to look at. But who knows with this, you know, I think Putin is probably just jumping on the crypto bandwagon because he probably I don't think he's a dumb guy, I guess to say. I think he's a bright gentleman, even though he's you know, a ruler, but I don't think he's, I don't think there's anything really nefarious about this. What I look at this is him jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think I'm sure that's what it is too. I mean, and it's not like out of the realm of government people. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people here in the U.S. that are behind the scenes, plenty of politicians. But there's countries that have actually declared at least Bitcoin, I believe, possibly other cryptos, I'm not sure, but as legal tender, right? Like, didn't Japan do that, and a couple other countries recently do that too?
Well, they've declared it as a currency.
Currency, yeah, as far as so like...
Well, it's like the U.S. just declared it as a commodity, but yet you need a money trader's license to trade in Bitcoin. But, you'll figure that.
Well, is that everywhere? I thought that was just in horrible places like where I live, in New York.
No, that was the United States government that said you need a money lender's license or whatever it is to trade in to operate a Bitcoin exchange.
Oh, to have
a Bitcoin exchange.
Oh, yeah. to have a full-blown exchange. Oh, okay. Yeah. Of course, they have to control it somehow. But
yet it's a commodity.
Well, you know, it fits right along with the double speak of all the other government actions. You know, like the so-called Affordable Care Act, the tax that was not a tax. You know, the tax that was a fine until it was fined to be a tax or whatever it ended up being, that ended up being illegal or whatever. You know, like,
yeah, it wasn't a tax, and then it was a tax.
Yeah,
it's how things work.
It's whatever is necessary, but. But yeah, but I mean, with the fact that at least other countries, you know, as far as I care about countries and governments in general, but since other ones are at least recognizing the power of these things and the fact that, you know, that people are making more and more use of them and just saying, well, you know, we're going to have to at least accept it as a currency at this point, you know. To me, that's a big win. It's like, okay, you know, I mean, secretly, am I like, do they realize that they're setting themselves up for their ultimate demise? Probably not. Great, let's do this. Not that I don't know if it's actually going to come to that, but I have long wished and hoped, I guess, that this type of stuff, like the blockchain technology, will be one of the integral parts that kind of brings down the state eventually, because it really, you know, I try to always preach the whole, you know, how do you change things? Well, you find ways to make, you don't just stop the government. You just find ways to make it obsolete. You just work around it. And
yeah, I want to make the government become like Betamax tapes and Blockbuster Video, basically, because it just becomes like, why would I do that? I can just get that source information for free by just going right to the feed, and there it is. I can get my services and goods elsewhere because I just print them myself. It's coming up soon, you know. It's going to go that way, and it's going to still take the effort of actually people making the bridge between each other instead of trying to bulldoze down people's houses, you know? Because this is the redemption of the third act, right?
No, not yet. You're a little early.
Oh, damn it. Oops. Hey.
Okay. But yeah, so it's all right. You're excited. It's your first show. We understand. Yeah, we got the redemption. I mean, we can start a little redemption early. I don't know if we actually have any. save that enthusiasm for after the next break. But I think, well, as we talked about earlier, I mean, I'm usually against people bulldozing other people's houses down. But sometimes you have a good reason for it. So, you know, I kind of... forgive. But largely, yes, there's got to be better ways. And yeah, how do you do that? You find ways that could do this. And I mean, we've talked about it on the show, and it's been talked about plenty of times in plenty of other places before, but just things like the blockchain technology, like being able to do the idea has been discussed, putting, like, if you're still gonna have like land titles and stuff like that, okay, put that on the blockchain. Then you don't need to have a government you don't have to have like a city clerk's office and stuff like that, which is actually the platform I ran on when I was still clinging to the LP, and I ran it for the county clerk. That was my platform. I wanted to win the position so I could get rid of the position by instituting something like a blockchain. Nice. for all the records. So my department wasn't necessary. I of course wasn't allowed on the ballot because they didn't even want to have that. They didn't even want to have those types of ideas floated because that would probably, you know, I guess that scared them a little bit too much. But
oh, of course. Of course.
Yeah, but, you know, there's been stuff I've seen people, you know, people get married on the blockchain, you know. So how many different functions of government right can be taken care of right there by filing records in a public form that doesn't require a building and an overpaid staff and pensions and, you know, office supplies?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Back for the final segment, and as Daryl got a little excited about before, try to find some redemption here in the third act. You know, we had talked about the story before with the business licensure and the city in Alabama trying to rip off these poor kids, and then trying to find a way to rip them off just a little bit less so they feel better about it. you know, one way that there could be a silver lining is if, well, the kid just kept doing it anyway and tried to avoid getting caught by the horrible guy who claimed he was going to report them. Although I was saying during the break, I think the only way you could pull that off is if there's other landscapers in the area who stand in solidarity with the kids and say, we don't care about, you know, competition in this regard, because, you know, most smart business owners will usually realize that people that are paying their, you know, neighborhood kids to do that are usually not going to pay, are doing it because they don't want to pay a professional company that may charge a little more money or do whatever, because they just want a quick job done or whatever. Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to help their neighbor kid out.
Yeah, exactly. Or they're trying to do that so they might not care, and it would probably require businesses like that saying, well, yeah, we don't think they should have to pay a permit, and neither we don't think we should have to pay for it either. And no. You know, if there's only that one guy left standing saying that he's going to report everybody else, well, then that part of the system kind of collapses, because how do they enforce that against everybody, you know?
No, they really couldn't. If you had a mass protest against, so if you had people that understood that this is wrong for them to go after these kids with $110 licenses for them to earn some extra pocket change during the summer months, and all the landscaping businesses saw this and got together and said, "Hey, we're all going to protest this," you could fix the situation. Government wouldn't be able to do anything about that. But the problem is you're going to have the people that are there going, oh, I don't want to compete with the kids.
Well, yeah.
I want government to shut down my competition. So that's the issue you have, is state is going to state.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, it's also, I think more so even the people that would want to, you know, help the kids out would still want to find the government solution to it, which is usually just to make the problem worse, because that's what government does. When it fixes problems, it creates new ones, so it has more problems to fix later on. That's kind of how it keeps itself in business.
Wait, what's government composed of again?
People.
People, yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be people out there with problems. It's almost like they have, like, damaged operating systems or something. Like, their mental and emotional software has been corrupted and such, you know?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, well, it's going to be repaired. That's like what I would offer. It will be repaired. But they're learning how to repair it themselves. Mostly the younger people, because they just look up the answers to everything. And the older people, that's where it's a little slower, you know. It's like you have to explain the things to them. But yeah, the blockchain's going to take over, like you guys were explaining. Was it one of you was explaining how that, you know, people would just be filing their stuff through the blockchain and don't need to hire all those clerks and things with their paydays?
Yeah. Yeah, that was part of my platform for running for county clerk. But yeah, so that stuff like that already does exist. Although, yeah, I like that, you know, what you said about people, you know, the younger people looking up the answers to things. I've been talking about this recently on a couple different shows, and I think it's great that they're looking it up, but it really depends on where they're finding their answers. That's still part of the problem too, because yeah, you can find the answers to pretty much anything out there, but you can also find different answers to pretty much everything out there as well. So you really have to be careful. And unfortunately, a lot of the younger generation, at least that I see, is finding their answers from kind of suspect sources.
Exactly.
There we go. I mean, they're also seeing that they get some of the sources are corrupted. And I think that there's really learning. And I don't know. I'm pretty optimistic about it. But what's your opinion, James?
Bleh. The state will go away.
The state will go away. Yes.
Well, yeah, worms.
Well, Daryl, it's been a great first show. It's good to have you here. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, James, it's been fun, man. It's been a while since I got to do a show with you, so this has been great.
Been a little while.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. For more of us, go to freedomfiends.com. Worms.
Worms.